The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for smart talk, fresh news all day. Listen, guys, it's Culture Thursday. I got a little housekeeping, but I'm super excited. You guys heard that song just now? You'll never find a love like mine. I used to sing that. You'll never find a mango like mine or a dilly tree. Anyway, I am so excited because in studio today, I have returning Mr. Link Scavella, and he has brought with him today two very, very extremely special guests, Mr. Marfield and Mr. Marvin Henfield Jr. Now, he didn't know he was going to be so special today, but I need some young people in the room with me because these older people in here just trying to shine out and show out this morning. So we've got a Culture Thursday for you. In fact, I'm so excited. I had a whole bunch of housekeeping news. I wanted to talk about the port. I wanted to talk about customs. I wanted to talk about that big 18-wheeler that turned right on red at Mackey Street as if the police don't, you know, enforce traffic controls there. Because technically it appears as if they don't. But I don't even have time to talk about that, man. I got to tell a whole bunch of people happy birthday. And what a day to tell people happy birthday. So let's get it started. First of all, two, the woman that raised me and reminded me every day that if she pinched me, my mother could hear me all the way from Clarence A. Bain building, caused me to take school seriously and remember that it ain't how smart you are, it's how smart you could be if you keep trying, yes. Right? To the woman who say, listen, if the prime minister called me and say it's time to go to war, then I picking up every conch shell I could find on the Andrus shore. For the woman who taught me what it meant to be Bahamian, I want to say good morning and happy birthday to Joycelyn Frazier. A true daughter of the soil. She left Andrus long time, but she ain't never forget it. And then I got to tell y'all something. My mother's birthday was this weekend, and I got to tell her happy belated birthday. But I had to give it some time, you see, because some older ladies, they don't like talk about their birthday. They don't like talk about their age and thing. But I tell my mother, I have to say happy birthday to her on the radio, man. I'll give it a couple of days. But happy belated birthday to the woman who made sure I went to school every day, who made sure I appreciated the gifts that were available to me in this country, and made sure that I had access to as many of them as I possibly could. I want to say happy birthday, mommy. And happy birthday to my second mummy. And Ona Bailey, your birthday coming up soon. I can tell you happy birthday to my third mummy. And then Audrey DeVoe and Cheryl Carey, you're all coming up soon. I'm going to have to tell you all happy birthday to my fourth and my fifth mummy. But it's International Women's Day week, so we're telling all of y'all happy birthday. Anyway, and so we play that song, Mr. Henfield. It's like not even serendipity, because that's like bad luck. It's the perfect timing. As I play that song this morning to my housekeeper, Joycelyn Frazier, the woman who raised me and who introduced me to the Soulful Groovers.
Hey.
And some of the most talented Bahamian voices out there. And so it is a pleasure, gentlemen, to have you all in studio with me today to have this conversation. It's just celebration, celebration, celebration all around. Good morning, Bahamas. So it is a Culture Thursday, and I'm going to try and mix in some music with conversation today, because even though y'all are gems that I have in the studio with me, I also got your music with me. And I want the Bahamian people to hear it. Because when we hear this stuff, for me, I could feel the potential of this place. Like when I hear, "You'll Never Find a Love Like Mine," when I hear that song, sir, yes, even Wedding Bells.
Yeah.
Right? Listen, I just think of all of the talent that's undiscovered, right? And that is our job to create every opportunity for young people to be exposed and to expose themselves, right? That's what I feel when I hear that music. So we're going to talk about that today. And Mr. Marvin Henfield Jr., I know you get roped into this conversation, but that's what us old people is do. But I'm glad that you're here, because I want to talk to young people as well about how they feel as a part of this journey, as a part of this space. And I'm going to start with you. Are you a musician, sir?
No, I'm not.
No? So what do you do?
So for me... Mm-hmm. I'm not the singer like my grandfather,
right.
But I managed to grasp the technology side of it, so I do more of the engineering side.
Absolutely. Okay, now when you say engineering, right, like the technical side, the boards, ensuring that the sound is smooth, that the mics are set correctly.
Right.
Right, does it include curating the space, right? Like ensuring that not just the technical side, but everything is in place to produce the product.
Right.
Absolutely. And tell us, for young people in particular, how important is that to have a person on your team who's responsible for that part of the work?
I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. And why I say it's important is because that particular individual, they are responsible for how the singer sounds that
right
day.
Right into the mic, yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, you're responsible for how the singer sounds that day, so you play a vital role. If you mess up, then it's more than likely the show itself
will be a flop.
It's going to be a flop.
Well, certainly for the true fans and audience members, they could tell when something is...
Oh, yeah.
They get a sense that something is off. And if they know they're artists, they could blame it on you. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be Mr. Henfield, not that golden, silky voice. That'd have been the technical staff. But I think it's important as well, because for an artist, you got to do the work of making music, and then you got to do the work of building a culture of appreciation for the music, right? And so the artist is busy, focused on creating new work, focused maybe researching and who looking for new sounds, who can I work with? But then we need support staff, and support staff to the part where you're not support, you're part of the product.
Integral part.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you go to school for that locally? Did you go to school abroad? Or were you able to glean from your environment the skills and tools necessary to do that job?
It came straight from the environment. I just was exposed to that environment from a young age. I think about 9, 8.
Yep.
Right into the mic, so yeah.
Yeah, he worked with me I had a club.
Okay.
And he worked around the engineers, and before you know it, he was the engineer.
Right. And I imagine it's sort of like cooking, like culinary skills. Yeah, you could go to school and you could learn this. But what you glean in the kitchen, what you glean in the studio, what you glean with the artists is different from what you can gather from school.
On the job training.
Yeah. Exactly. So while we're here, gentlemen, this is the big question. What do we need to do to broaden exposure for young people? How can we ensure that young people who want to can engage these professional spaces in that way?
You want it?
I could tell you. In fact, I'd be draconian with it, right?
Yeah.
I'm starting summer camps. And for young people that are at risk, they have already been through a sort of a judicial program, right? They've already been identified as having an issue of some sort,
mm-hmm.
not blaming it on them. I'm pulling them into a summer program, a residential program, and I'm exposing them to as many professional spaces as I can. If I got to get some artists to donate used or old equipment to create a studio mm-hmm. that those young people can be in for 2 or 3 weeks, pull them from Nassau, send them to the family island, and give them an forced immersive program. Because I think once young people get into the program, they forget the force part, you know, and they appreciate that they're doing something. Is there anything that exists formally or informally with artists locally or artists that are based abroad but connected to the Bahamas? Are they providing any opportunities, immersive opportunities like that for young people or for young adults?
Well, thank you very much, Aaron, for having us. One of the things that we are working on right now is trying to get our young up-and-coming artists involved in a major project that we're doing
mm-hmm.
pretty much around the same line of what you're talking about now.
Okay.
And also, we have a young group of organization that's called the ABAP that is just rebounding. Which include a number of those young people that I trained back in the day and who are now prepared to train younger up-and-coming artists because
mm-hmm.
a lot of them are successful. As I told you last time, we had even a triple Grammy Award, Nickelodeon Award out of that same group. And so that's going to be something on the table as well coming up.
Absolutely. So last week I had some sports guys on here. And my co-host for my sports segment, Mr. Sawyer, Eric Sawyer III,
mm-hmm.
he has this wonderful idea, right, that ties in with national development and tourism. He thinks that we should, given the amount of money that we've invested in creating international standard sporting facilities, that we should also focus on growing athletes. So not just focus on hosting tournaments,
yeah.
but on growing professional athletes, like
that.
A god farm. And in the same way, if we say we're so serious about tourism, and if we say we're serious about national development, then we should have a formal policy of growing musicians,
mm-hmm.
creating farms with the intention of growing musicians, and I like to say rehabilitating flowers. And taking young people who may have been on one path and showing them that this is a possible path. But if we, like, just in the news today, we had a cruise ship, the largest cruise ship in the world,
mm-hmm.
5 times the size of the Titanic, just under 7,000 passengers capacity, mm-hmm. right? That means that they must have space for at least 15 bands. That means that cruise ship have to be large enough for them to have at least 15 entertainment spaces
yeah.
separate from each other. And if I were prime minister, I could be honest, don't vote for me because I get hard. I make you take your vitamins and eat vegetables. But if I was prime minister and your cruise ship floating in my water, only Bahamian entertainment
yes.
when you're in territorial waters.
Yeah.
If I have to pay for the charter to go pick them up on my little...
Say it again.
But
yeah.
imagine one boat, I'm sure, could host at least 15 bands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we could be growing artists and using mm-hmm. the cruise industry to give them exposure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Not just the exposure needed to grow, but the exposure needed, you know, to grow up as an artist.
And make money.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make a living.
Because it's exposure that sells records.
Mm-hmm. On point.
Absolutely. Mr. Scavella, look at that list of music. Mm-hmm. Now, I told my producer I wanted to play that song called Similao by Eloise, the Eloise Trio, which is Eloise Lewis, right? Bahamian rooted.
Icon.
Said she was born in the U.S., but raised in the Bahamas, right? I wanted to play that after your song because I thought, like, of all the songs that I found so far from the Eloise Trio, that's the one that most aligns. Like, it's a love song.
Okay.
All the others are sort of dance songs.
Yeah, she was up-tempo.
Yeah, definitely up-tempo. Great stuff. So, producer, I want to play Similao, but Mr. Scavella, what do you think we should play next?
I think you should play I See You.
Is it on the list?
Let me see if that... No, that's not on here.
All right, so producer...
Or Do Me.
Do Me, Ties That Bind, Looking Back.
Any one of those.
Okay, but guess what? I don't know if I have that on the list. What I have on the list is You Got Your Troubles. Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Producer, play that one for us. That's You Got Your Troubles. Yeah. So, but that track, Similao, that was the first one that I found by the Eloise Trio that was sort of lower tempo and more of a love song than an upbeat song. And I also think that was important, that note. Because going back to all the Gombe songs, there aren't a lot of love songs by that interesting.
Hardly any.
Yeah.
And a lot of the women have great voices.
Absolutely. And in fact, so this week I was supposed to do like a focus on women for International Women's Day. Uh-huh. But next week I am going to focus on, I think, someone who should be recognized for their contributions to music and hasn't been recognized sufficiently. Miss Maureen Duvalier.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, producer, when you're ready to play the song, play it. But there you go, he on time. When we get back, I have to ask you guys if you've interacted or made music with Maureen Duvalier and some of the older artists you would have had an opportunity or privilege to perform and learn from. So this is You Got Your Troubles?
Yeah, I got mine.
And I got mine. Y'all listen to this by Mr. Marvin Henfield.
He's found somebody new to take your place. You got your troubles, I got mine. I too have lost my love today. And all my dreams have faded away. Now just like you, I sit and wonder why. You got your trouble, baby, I got mine.
Now, Mr. Henfield, let me tell you what I love about this song. It's a ballad laid over Bahamian descent. Mm-hmm. It's like Junkanoo or Rake and Scrape.
Nancy Wilson did it originally.
Right. Right?
Rake and Scrape to the Bone. Yeah.
Listen.
So it's a female song. Nancy Wilson does
it. Yeah. What I love about the Bahamian sound is the ability to lay that sound over any ballad out there.
We spoke about that yesterday.
Exactly, right.
Wow. Listen.
I said Bahamians don't get credit for how diversified they are in music. Most foreign islands in particular, they stick in one genre of music. Bahamians cover just about every line of music under the sun.
And the meld, the fusion is so beautiful. And I will say to my Bahamian artists, the most disappointing thing I feel is when listening to music is the lack of curiosity to engage other sounds and incorporate it. Mm-hmm. Because once you hear a Ronnie Butler do it, once you hear Marvin Henfield do it, and it was a couple of weeks ago, I played a song, I can't remember the playlist, but this gentleman, he took this love song and he put it over like a Junkanoo beat, and it was just the most amazing thing. To my young friend here, do you think that the access to technology has actually shrunk our curiosity? It's like because we could access anything, we're actually less curious than our older counterparts who were limited in their access and perhaps thus more curious and hungry to find what is out there?
I would say yes, it has lessened our curiosity. Because, you know, everything is just at your fingertip as opposed to back before I was born.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to know how to get more knowledge. You wanted to know, like, how can I recover this song as opposed to now we ready. Why?
Right. So, like, I've been, when I can fall in love with a man, when I fall in love with a man, when he get up and start singing Bahamian Bossa Nova, when he take a Bahamian track and lay it over some Bossa Nova, look here, then I will know I have found the one.
Yeah.
That's what the next sound I'm waiting to hear. And so, as I was telling you guys earlier.
That's an idea, though. I mean, I never thought of that.
My uncle is the great Oscar Green.
Ozzy
Green, Oscar. Right? My father is Bernard Green. So I grew up in a family with musical people, although Corinne Mitchell never let me off the side porch. I love music, and I love the fusion of music. Another thing that I find, and I want to ask you guys if there's been a transition, if it's always been this way, although I can't think that it's always been this way. For a lot of younger artists, I don't hear any bass in their music. I don't hear any drum and bass. I don't hear any Afro, like I don't hear that drum beat, the bass sound, and I hear more poppy sounds, more pop music sounds. Even I feel today like a lot of Bahamian artists are being influenced by Asian B2K, like that Asian pop band sound. But there's an album called Calypso Madam with Caribbean voices, and it has Maya Angelou, Maureen Duvalier, Eloise, Miriam Makeba on it. And so is this a transition? Has there always been a space for Bahamian music that was more sort of poppy and less Afro, less bass, less rhythm?
Well, first of all, Bahamian are more diversified when it comes to music.
Mm-hmm.
We had a situation where tourism being a bread and butter, we couldn't stick to just one sound because certain things.
Right.
And you don't want to turn them away. You don't want to make it that you can't do it. So you tried.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times we didn't measure up to the standard that we should have, but we tried anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we were able to do basically any music or any rhythm from around the world because we were almost forced to survive.
Yeah, right. Now, I got to stick a pin there. I heard you say something that I have to disagree with.
What's that?
Now, mind you were there and I wasn't there.
Right.
But you said that y'all really did, sometimes you didn't do a good job. But I have heard the country crossover,
mm-hmm.
and I've loved it. Ronnie Butler and Eddie Minnis, I think. I've heard the jazz crossover, and Bahamas has led the way. First of all, from Joseph Spence and Frederick mm-hmm. McQueen straight up, we have helped to lay the foundation.
Charlie Adamson.
Bengali, Show Me Your Motion. Mm-hmm. Right? We've laid the foundation for rhythm and for rhythm and blues. And then
disco.
That's what I'm about to say. Contemporarily, from Tony McKay, like in the Bahamas, we think of Tony McKay as a guttural rebirth of Joseph Spence. But Tony McKay influenced
He was
disco,
unique in every way.
Right? He influenced that disco, that indie sound, with the, like, because indie is sort of distant, right? Like, his influence and Bahamian influence from disco straight to hip-hop has been amazing. So when you say we didn't do so well on some of these sounds.
Let me clarify that, what I meant. What I meant was, from a personal standard,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, I wasn't as good as I thought it could have been. In other words, you heard somebody else do it. You felt like you came up short, but from the diversification,
mm-hmm.
Bahamians are top-notch. There is no country, even in America, that can play different genres of music better than Bahamians.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And I live that.
Yeah. You know,
so what I like, I just have a standard for myself. Mm-hmm. And if I don't feel comfortable, maybe I'm hard on myself, but if I don't feel comfortable with it, I don't feel like I did it I did a disservice to the song.
And I can appreciate that. I mean, that's a personal professional
That's a personal
ethic,
thing. That's why I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. And I appreciate that, and that's necessary, right? That the degree of humility.
Yes, you have to critique yourself.
Yeah, but listen, so there are songs that I find that there are multiple artists, right? And so like Don't Squeeze My Tomato, George Simonette is perhaps one of the most popular renditions of that, but mm-hmm. there are tons of artists that have sung it. Was there a rivalry? Like, did artists, like the same way reggae has a sound clash where all the artists perform a different song on the same rhythm, did you guys have a sound clash where y'all would all perform the same track and then see who was the best? Because I like there's a Blind Blake version of this and a Charlie Adamson version of the same song. And now I see that they're contemporary, but not necessarily young artists who are remaking older songs.
Yeah.
Right? And that I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I want to play one next to the other so people could hear the evolution of the sound. But did y'all have that, not rivalry, but that positive competition where y'all would all, you know, see who sang this best, did the better version?
You know, it was really a rivalry. You're right, the first time. Now, it wasn't a rivalry in a sense of fighting against one another. You just want it. It's almost like fighting for supremacy. Everybody wants to be the best. Anything you do, you should want to be the best. So that was the rivalry.
Right.
You know. Maybe you fell short somewhere, but in your mind, I won't do it better than her. I won't do it better than him. You know.
Yeah.
Now, can we take that energy, that spirit, that positive competition, and take that and apply that to other areas? Because I think young people get caught up in this space, right, where they know that naturally you should want to do your best and be the best. Mm-hmm. That's not hurting somebody else.
No, without hurting someone.
Right, but they feel like they don't necessarily have the tools needed to try even, and then they sort of close in on themselves.
Yeah, there you go.
Can we use the music space, the music industry, to recreate that positive social energy?
Yeah.
Yes,
I believe we can. We just have to be willing to put the time and effort into it. You see, you got to believe in it.
Yeah.
You got to believe in it, you know. And the younger people, it's unfair to judge them in a sense because they weren't exposed. A lot of them didn't get the help mm-hmm. that we got along the way. See, times were different. When a guy would take you under his wings and show you the finer points of the craft, mm-hmm. where nowadays you don't see that. So most of the younger people, they're really on their own. You know, they go on YouTube and they download, and because that's it.
Yeah.
They don't get it from within. 90% of the stuff that they use today come from the outside and technology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where back in the day, we didn't have that. So a guy would pull you, like you said, on the porch, mm-hmm. in a little box guitar.
Yeah.
And he would show you some things. Maybe he wasn't a great, but he was better than you were at the time. But he saw talent in you.
Yeah. Right.
So he wanted to help.
Yeah. And he knew the mechanism. He knew he wasn't the best at it, but he knew
he
the mechanism.
He gave you what he had. Yeah. He gave you the best of what he had. And it's up to you to now grow that.
Right. And so I think, you know, from the social aspect, we don't realize how systems degrade. Right? And we may not realize that the music industry may have degraded simply because we stopped having...
Yeah, we disconnected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
As simple as that. And that these spaces may be devolving not because of corruption,
mm-mm.
not because of crookedness or malfeasance, but simply because there's an element that dissipated, that disappeared, mm-hmm. and we never replaced it with something else.
Well, let me say something real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people are quick to blame or downgrade or, you know, the youngest generation. But guess what? In a lot of cases, they're smarter, technically,
mm-hmm.
than we were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if it's a feeling that we don't feel like, you know, they had it easy. No, it's just their time.
Yeah.
You know, technology has changed.
Definitely.
You know, it's their time. So we have to take a step back. Give them some space
mm-hmm.
and be there for them. If they fall or slide, be there to help them up. We cannot begrudge them because they can now get on my phone. He do things on my own phone that I can't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? I'm dumb. It's just that he's a little bit smarter in that area.
And we can work together.
Yes.
Because you can work the phone and then I could show you some places you could find on the phone. I may not know how to get there, but I know you know how to find it.
I know
right?
it's there.
And that's why the most dangerous, looking into the future, the most dangerous element that we have to look look after and be concerned about is these old people and their grandchildren in the car gallivanting. Because once you get a old person and a curious grandchild and a determined old person in the car together, they are Royal Bahamas Police Force. I'm going to need y'all to get to work. But they could change the world.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they are the change.
Yeah.
The and younger generation, every generation have their thing. You know what I mean? We have to, you have to back aside and let give them their space. You cannot, you can't have it all.
Absolutely. Instead it says, now I got to make this note, dear Texter, it's dance hall. And yes, dance hall is Jamaican.
Yes.
And you're going to say it's Jamaican.
Trinidad and Jamaica, dance hall.
Right, right. Absolutely. See, so it's not just Jamaican.
No, dance hall is mainly Trinidad. There's a soca. Soca, soul, calypso.
Uh-huh.
And that dance hall was created there. Jamaica started with the ska.
Yeah.
And then we moved into reggae.
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad started the dance hall phase and it came over. In fact, that never really came into being until the early years of Byron Lee and some of the artists.
Okay.
You know, but soca, with Mighty Sparrow and those guys, it was soul, calypso, soca. Soul, calypso,
yeah.
And before you know it, it evolved into dance hall.
Wow. Wow. You know, look here, I get to write you.
Yeah.
I get to pay you some money. Soul, calypso.
You know, that's what it was first, soul, calypso.
Yeah. Soca.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you. See, Texter, thank you for that text.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that, we all learned something new today.
Yes.
If you want to join the conversation, if
and
you want to...
started in Trinidad.
Absolutely. Now, now listen, Trinidad, okay? You already have doubles, and now you got dancehall, and you got carnival.
Yeah.
Just be easy with us. Just be easy with us. We can match you. So if you want to join the conversation, you could text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. If you want to call in and talk to Mr. Henfield or Mr. Scavella yourself, if you want to share an old story that they don't want to tell us, but you know we need to know, you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Producer, let's go to a quick break, and then let's play that song by the Eloise Trio, Simulao. Now, the Eloise Trio was a space where you saw the need to perform a wide genre of music.
You had to.
Right. Yeah, and so when putting together my playlist, I asked myself, how much of this will Bahamians acknowledge as a Bahamian sound? Right? So is this Simulao? This is Simulao by the Eloise Trio.
Relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Thank you. guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today and call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Master of the Commons.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock. This Thursday, the 10th of March, it's a Culture Thursday, and in studio with me today is Mr. Link Scavella. And the legendary Link Scavella has brought with him some tremendously special guest today, Mr. Marvin Winfield. Tell the people good morning again, sir.
Well, good morning, and I'm so happy to be back home.
Now, you hear that voice. Listen, Mr. Marvin Winfield Jr., say good morning.
Good morning, Oprah.
Okay, now you hear those three voices. When I step out of my studio to go talk to the producer, these vitamins in here, having a tremendously important conversation without me. And so now I have to talk about things that y'all, older people, do and don't pass on to the younger people. I got two songs on my playlist. The first one we have heard already from Mr. Marvin Henfield, You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine. But we got this song on this playlist from the legendary Backstabbers called From Night Till Morning, which is another ballad. It's a love song, right? And I just want to say to the older generation of Bohemian men, why did y'all not teach these young people how to ballad?
Wow.
This is something that is missing from our society, and I realize it's a construct. You need to, it's not just how to sing a ballad, but it's how to ballad. It is how to express, for men especially, right? And the love in your heart. See, we have a problem here with these men. They feel like if they express the love, then people are going to call them homosexuals. But they're too lovey-lovey, you know? Yeah. And we've lost the ways, the old ways in which men showed each other love and respect and care and concern. But your man then used to ballad. And I imagine that y'all then win 7,500 more with these Bohemian women by just balloting them to pieces.
My lord.
If it worked.
What happened? It did work, but something happened. What happened to the ballad? And why is it that the young Bohemian men no longer have this thing that y'all used to use to not just express yourself, but to communicate?
That was communication.
Yeah. Right? And I don't know what happened to it. Ain't no young man, and maybe that's why I am here, where I am today, but ain't no man ever bothered me.
Well, you know, a lot of things go into that. First of all, music, the R&B, because we copy, whether you like it or not, we copy from different countries. The R&B changed drastically once disco came into play.
Mm-hmm.
When disco came into play, you only had a few female singers like the Whitney Houstons and Mariah Careys,
mm-hmm,
who continued to do ballads.
Yeah.
90% of the artists went full force, Donna Summer, the next one, and into disco.
Yeah.
And disco didn't last that long, but it left a mark where we changed the whole scene, where everything became up tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could count on the hand the Luther Vandross, the Teddies,
James Ingram.
Right, the James Ingram. Mm-hmm. I got a standing with one of his songs just once.
Yeah.
But there were far and few then. But prior to that, prior to disco,
90%, I venture to say 90% of the entertainers, even around the world, of Julio Iglesias, the Beatles, I mean, we can go on, Elvis Presley, Sam Cooke, Lou Rawls, their main thing was ballads.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is what it is. And that's, you know, first of all, in my mind, I couldn't compete with the Calypsonians like the Frankie Adams, the Ronnie Butlers. Mm-hmm. So I found a niche that I felt I was comfortable with, and it was accepted.
Yeah.
So, like I said, once I found it was accepted, I just kept going down that road, you know. Mm-hmm. And, well, the rest is history, because everything I have in life I got from entertainment, and it was mainly ballads.
Well, I want to say, when I played in the band, the only thing I sang was the ballads. Mm-hmm. When I played with the Spang Band, they would let me sing all of the ballads. Mm-hmm. But this particular song that you're talking about, From Night Till Morning, that was composed by Cello Martin, the Black Pearl.
Yes.
And this is going to be the first time Marvin, both of them, ever heard this song.
Right.
Right. So, producer, that's what we're playing next, From Night Till Morning. Now, put on your seatbelt. Turn to the one you love and say, be prepared to fall in love right now.
I feel the love the time you come around. Friends say I was dreaming, cause I've seen you once in my life. I feel someday I'll meet you. Someday you'll be my wife. I'll be the best man for you. Starting from tonight.
Now I'm on it.
On it. I'm on it.
From night till morning.
From night till morning, girl.
Baby, you keep me longing.
Girl, you keep me longing.
From night till morning.
From night till morning. What they gonna say now? We've made it through somehow. We've made it through somehow. Through the storm and the rain. Through the storm and the rain. And all the joy and pain. And the joy and the pain. Baby, now I'm all in. All in.
Wow. So listen, here's what I'm saying, right? I got a whole social justice movement. We need to bring the ballot back. And in fact, I just wanted, this is just an aside, dear BPL, here's what you should do. You need to have a ballot competition. Because while people sitting in their house sweating and not loving each other, mm-hmm. you need to figure out a way to have them love each other.
That's a good idea.
This summer will be hot. In fact, I've been promoting, informally promoting this idea. We need a national song competition.
Yeah.
Every year, we need to give artists an opportunity to compete with each other, to expose themselves to the Bahamian people, to attempt to perform at that national level.
Yeah.
Right? And then we can have categories, genres, the ballad, right? The crossover, the mm-hmm. fusion, mm-hmm. the old school, the new school. Because we got a young man that you mentioned that I know from yeah. the improv comedy troupe exactly. that I work with, Mr. Bahamian Trey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bahamian Trey is unique, very unique.
Right. And this is a young Jay who, in fact, now I understand in spot, in practice, he carrying on like as a real woman, making them intergenerational links. Right. But he did a song with Ronnie Butler and Fatty Fats
yeah.
called Teef.
Yeah.
And it is funny, it is poignant, it is, I know everybody like that in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know your Teef?
We all
right? In fact, like my granny told me one story about this day 25 years ago. Well, she catched the bay in the tree. When she catches me, she asks him what he's doing. He said, are you just preparing? Me and you, we're going to go make some money. Right? So she said, okay.
You think everybody will sell it.
Yeah. And, but Bahamian Trey has been able to make that crossover.
Definitely.
Back in Time. In fact, we have a song on the Back in Time rhythm, mm-hmm. but it's just about that. And there's a space for young people yeah. in there. To help grow the culture.
Definitely.
Well, you know what?
we can beat around the bush, but we need to give the young people a fair chance.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
We need to judge them. You know, we can't. They can't live our lives. They can't go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's their day.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't put any stumbling blocks in their way. We should move forward with them, guide them.
Mm-hmm.
Some will listen, some won't, but you're not going to save everything anyway. Everybody can't be alike.
Right. And understand, you're giving them the creative license and authority to create.
Yeah.
Don't turn around and say, well, if you want to make weird things, if you want to make that, then you're going to find your own money.
No. Yeah.
Give them the license, the authority, and ensure that they're funded.
Totally agree.
And in fact, I can take it a step further, right? We know that people who are, say, struggling in their personal lives cannot perform in their professional lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't have electricity in your house, we know that you are not going to be able to perform, or it will take extra effort for you to perform. So don't just say you've given young people an opportunity. You got to go in the back there and make sure that every young person has a place to live.
Make it real.
Right. You know, you got to make sure that you've given them a phone. You got to make sure they have some place to plug it in to charge it up.
Yeah.
The same energy you put into criticizing the young and finding fault,
mm-hmm.
put that same energy into paving the way, showing them, leading them.
Absolutely.
You know, don't tell me, show me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Now, do you think we have the infrastructure in place? Do you think we have the organizational support, like United Artists Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
the second organization that you do to tell us a bit about you, our Musicians and Entertainers Union? What more do we need, though? What are the structures, the organizations, the policies we need to put in place to make sure that this is not just sustainable,
mm-hmm.
but it's seen as something that's bigger than politics, that it is truly a national initiative?
It should transcend politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also think that in older entertainers, if we're not selfish, right,
mm-hmm.
and look more toward help is up and coming, and then you would have the same thing like how a cello Martin came. I trained him as a singer. He came back behind, and now he's producing us.
Right.
And so that's the kind of spin-off. And so the selfishness, once we could get over that, you know, because, you know, some of us have that selfishness in us.
I and me attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know, mm-hmm. first of all, I don't think in entertainment in particular, you should, the people have different styles, different tastes. You know, you can't do what I do. You may not be happy doing what I'm doing. You know,
that's why they call you a creative artist.
That's right. I've worked for 50 years, and I've worked with basically every type of entertainers in the world today. I am no judge. I got my fault. You got your fault. The bottom line is, something positive. Your backpack got nothing to do with me. My thing is, as a young generation coming up now, I don't think they have had the help or the support to move forward. Like us did, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing a whole lot of criticism. You know, you see it on the Facebook and the social media. Oh boy, this one's going to jail. Just this week, a couple of days ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No. I think I don't know exactly what he's doing, but from the bits of it, it sounds as if he's trying to do some things.
Carlos Reed and the Hope Center. Yeah.
Okay. But other than that, I can't think of nobody. All I hear is complaining.
Yeah.
You know, you lock your door, you put on 10 steel bars, and then you see a young fella coming, you hold your wall. Maybe you're right in a sense, because some kids, if you're not going to help me, then I have to do what I can. Give me a chance.
It's economics. That response, that's understanding economics.
Mm.
You know the pie is only so big, and you know how much of the pie you have.
Yes.
So when you see that young man, you certain he needs some pie.
He needs some
pie. He may be economics.
He needs help.
Right, and that's it. You know that he needs help. So how do you step, right? How do we encourage people to step up in that moment?
You know what I mean?
Now, here's a question. The government is continually entertaining the idea of a national lottery.
Yes.
Here. And then we have existing web shop industry. Mr. Henfield Jr. in particular, do you think that young people would be willing to pay a tax or to participate in a lotteryism that's aim is to fund music creation, production,
to fund the industry and ensure young people have access. Do you think young people would support their peers like that?
I know personally, I can speak for myself. I know
yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if it's something that you want to do, then you have to, you know, try to contribute to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't just want a gimme. You yeah. should want to say, I earned this.
Yeah.
So yes, it's something that I think, personally, I know I would support it.
Yeah, and I think young artists will, young people will support young artists as well.
Yes.
I think a young person, I wouldn't even be mad. A young person may say, man, look, yes. yeah, I'd rather get this young person, these politicians, these old people doing foolishness. Even if that's the attitude, right, I think that young people would support mm-hmm. it if a mechanism was available, made
yeah,
it easy,
yeah,
and it wasn't a huge deal, right? Like, I may not be able to afford to buy a $250 ticket and then spend $300 getting ready,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another person I have to spend that money to support. If I knew that every time, maybe even if every time I bought a Black & Mild, every time I bought a cigar, 2 cents went towards supporting young artists, right? That I would make that purchase. Every time I bought a local soda,
yeah,
you know, 5 cents went towards supporting a local artist. I think Bahamians may get on board.
I have no problem with that. First of all, you shouldn't make the young person feel like they owe you something for doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should be able to give. It should come from within. Do I want to help this young child
mm-hmm.
to move forward?
Now, gentlemen, I got so caught up in the discussion that I forgot that I wanted to play 7 more songs before we left. But we have 1 minute left before the end of the show.
Wow, wonderful.
So please give us your closing words.
Well, I like the idea that you're working with. Why? Because for too long, we sat back and judged the next generation coming up, as mm-hmm. opposed to help, you see.
Yeah.
I think that needs to change.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I would want to follow up on that national song competition you're talking about.
Yeah.
Make that happen, you know.
And I think that would excite young people.
Yeah.
It would definitely. And Mr. Henfield Jr., I know me and you, we the youngins in this room, but we got to say. Your last word.
My last words would be to all the young and upcoming artists, it would be, continue to be encouraged. Don't stop what you're doing. It may seem rough now, but there's always a brighter day ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because listen, if I had known that one day I would have the Marvin Henfield, you'll never find another love like mine, in my studio. What? And so, but I knew in my life that I could be and meet people like that. And that's because people exposed me to my own potential. And that's our job. For every one of us, our job is people to their own potential. Now, I mean to play that song, Blame It on the Rake and Scrape. I believe Rake and Scrape is the root of all juiciness and celebration.
That's
so we
us.
Yeah.
That's
Bahamian.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we close out the day with Blame It on the Rake and Scrape. Mr. Marvin Henfield, thank you so very much.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Mr. Link Scavella, thank you for bringing me these two treasures today.
You're welcome.
Mr. Marvin Henfield Jr., it was a pleasure to meet you. And keep doing what you're doing to make sure others can do what they have to do in their spirit.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Producer, thank you so much. We got to go. Guardian Radio AM is up next. I don't know who's on the board.